Sorry for joining a few minutes late. So tonight's Yerazan, I want to do some reflections on Megillas Esther and try to go through some of the understanding according to the Gra, as well as share with you one or two from the Midrash Rabbah. So just briefly I hope everyone had a wonderful, joyous Purim. We were supposed to get bad weather, but Baruch Hashem, I think it was pretty nice, and we should only have reasons to smile. So it says, Vayihi bimei Achashverosh, Shu Achashverosh, right? So we all know that the word Vayihi is Lashon Tzara. Achashverosh, as we know, was a Melech Me'atmo, V'lohaya Mizera Amlucha. He wasn't somebody that came from any royal line, but of course his wife was the daughter of Belshazzar and the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. So she was the reason for the season, as they say. And the next two psukim says, "Bishnas Shalosh Lamalcho, Asla Mishtelach Asra V'Avadav." Right? Why does the Megillah say specifically 3 years? Because it took 3 years to move the throne that they had seen and witnessed of Shlomo Melech, and they tried to replicate it in Shushan Habira. And that is one of the ironies, is that that's exactly where Mordechai and Esther are to be found. So sometimes when things happen, we don't really know why, but it just so happens that they picked the place where there was going to be a intercedent on behalf of the Seresa de la Tata, the stirring from below, because now that Mordechai is hands-on, he's seeing what's going on, the whole Megillah changes as a result of him being present, together with Esther, of course. And by Yamim Ahim, right, so this is the Vashnash Shal Shemoch, Asim Shreva Chatzor Avodah, Kol Prasim Adai, right, so the next pasuk says, Varosa es Osher Kavod Machuso, Vashikar Tferas Gidulaso. The two parts over here to this pasuk, Yamim Rabim Shmonim Mas Shana, Shmonim Mas Yom, right, so there's two parts to this pasuk in Dalit. One is, we say that Aaron HaKohen had big dekuna lechavod l'safara, and here we see the words osha kavod malchuso v'asikar teferes. Kavod and teferes are found over here in this pasuk to demonstrate, according to the Gra, that Achashverosh indeed wore the big dekuna, which was repulsive to all of us, and just the thought of it alone is uncomfortable. And why does it say 180 days? Because we know that there were 6 boxes that were revealed, according to the Gra, every day, indicating that there was 1,040 different gifts, so to speak. These weren't gifts. These were actually articles. These are artifacts of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why it took an entire 180 days to display them, because every day they revealed 6. And then the next pasuk says that Chorp Karpasit Ches Ochlet Bechav Leivot Ragaman Aglili Kesav Amudei Sheish, right? Zahav Kesav Al Rizpat Bahat Vashesh V'Dabar Zachara. So this pasuk, actually, the Gra says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created 3 olamos in Klapi Mala. And the way that this pasuk is describing the adornments on the couches and what the floor looked like, and the zahav, the kesef, al ritzvah, bahat, the sheish, the darv, saharas, these are all things that await the tzaddikim le'os lavo. These are all things that await our righteous ancestors. They are basking in all of this. And so this is not something that's light. It's actually referring to something that's quite outside of our realm of understanding. And so it gives us a taste of the Megillah itself, of course, does not have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, but we are, as the Gra says, touching upon very sensitive subject matter. The next pasuk in Zion says, "Vashkos b'klei zahav v'kelim v'kelim shonim v'yein machus rab ki b'yad ha-melech." So that pasuk refers to the fact that these kelim, of course, were from the Beis HaMikdash, v'kelim shonim, and of course the Baal Koreh, the Baal, when he reads this pasuk, he v'kelim v'kelim shonim, right? So he goes back into an echa type of a nuance in order to indicate to all of us this was very, very very disturbing. And then when the pasuk says Rav ki yad ha-melech, that means that there's 2 parts to this pasuk according to the Gra. First is that each one drank a little bit from a large cup, put it down, and then moved around the room, and then picked up another cup. So there was never a shortage of cups. And each one of these cups was obviously a ki yad ha-melech, which means that it was quite sizable. A king doesn't drink out of a 7-ounce cup. A king drinks out of a mug or something quite large. And these mugs or these vessels, these cups, were abundant. And if you want to understand how abundant the food was, says the Gra, then just focus on the Yad HaMelech. It's fascinating because it doesn't talk about the food that was there. And the answer is because if you really want to understand how much food was present, then you get the picture by saying the Yayin, the Yain Malchus, Rav Ki Yad HaMelech. And the next pasuk even dovetails on this. Vashisya Kidas Inonais, right? And anyone who wanted to drink, there was no one stopping them, right? Kichin Yisad HaMelech Al Kol Rav Beis Olah Lasos Kirtzon Ish. Nefesha Ish. This pasuk, by the way, is probably the most challenging pasuk in the entire parak. And the reason for this is because it indicates that the Jewish people, and the Medrash Rabba brings down that there were 18,566 Jews that participated in this party, and there's a different interpretation, maybe a slightly different number, but also in the same ballpark of 18,000 Jews, 18,000 plus Jews, that they all do this willingly, right? Because the pasuk says, Vasos Kirtzon Ish V'Ish, whatever they wanted, whatever they desired, they were able to do. Now, this clearly does not indicate that anybody was forced to do anything. And if they were forced, then of course, then they have an out. But if they weren't forced, Lasos Kirtzon Ish V'Ish, that's not very good. Now here, listen to Pasuk Test, how things start to change a little bit. Gam Vashia Malka Asa Mishtei Nashem, Beis HaMachos Asher LaMelech Achash Verosh. Fascinating. The Grub brings down that it's like the king and queen each had their own powder room, so to speak. They each had their own separate entrances. They each had their own courtyard. And they had their place. They had their room. And Achashverosh wanted to have his space too. But here, Vashti was indicating to all the people there, you can come and party with me on the king's side. Not so much on my side. My side, for sure, you can go ahead and have a good time. But I'm going to take you over, Beis HaMachos Asher LaMelech Achashverosh, I'm going to take you over to where my husband thinks that he has his privacy. I'm going to go ahead and share with you his privacy. And I'm going to allow you to feel just as comfortable in my presence as you would if it were on my side of the castle, my side of the, so to speak, the throne. So this angered, says the Gra, Achashverosh in a very difficult way, because it was basically usurping his authority, and he was not happy with that. And then the next pasuk goes on to say that, you know, they were having a discussion, and we all know that when people are drinking, the discussion is not based on Torah. And so they decided to have a discussion or debate whether the Persians or the Midianites, which particular, you know, segment of society that they were surrounded by were the prettiest of all. And so therefore, the discussion, you know, went to Achashverosh's own wife. Now, any king would have clearly stopped that straight away. There's no room for discussion. But Achashverosh himself, according to Megillah and the way that the Gra understands Achashverosh's personality, he was somebody who sought the approval of others, despite the fact that he was a king, which showed a great weakness. And he fell into the debate, so somehow, of proving that his wife was, in fact, prettier than the others. And therefore, the pasuk continues, L'havias Vashti Amalka L'fnei Amalek, L'kes Amalkas L'haros Amen, V'ashrim Esyaf Yaw, Kitov. This is totally beyond the pale. It could have been, you know, exacerbated by the fact that Vashti was taking away some of his glory by allowing her particular guest to party in his side of the castle, his side of the throne. And then he tried to, so to speak, belittle her. And so this tit for tat, this type of back and forth of, Achashverosh feeling a little bit uncomfortable and then trying to make Vashti feeling uncomfortable, you know, this is exactly how the Gra is painting this picture. And then, of course, Vashti refuses. And now the question is, what do we do with the king's wife who refuses? In essence, the question is, who's really in control over here? You know, at the end of Pasuk Yud Beis in Parag Aleph, we're left with this dilemma. Is the king going to give in to Vashti? Because after all, she's the reason for the nobility by which he has the throne. Or is it that, you know, Vashti's going to, you know, tell Achashverosh, this is it. I'm not, I could dethrone you and become the queen. But the Melech went ahead and spoke to the Chachamim Yodei HaYi. Right? What does it mean, the Chachamim Yodei Ha'itim? So the Yodei Ha'itim are the people that can create calendars. These are the people that know how to determine time. And the Yodei Ha'itim are referring to actually Jewish people. So he went in and he sought the counsel of Jewish people. And Vakarov Elov Karshana, right? Kichein Devar HaMelech Uznei Kol Yodei Das Vadin. Nobody else knew Das Vadin better than the people of the Hebraic tribe. Vakarov Elov Karshana Shesa Admasa Tarshish Mesa. But yet, despite the fact that he went and asked the council, there were many others that sought to provide counsel to Achashverosh, and Kidas Mama Asos, what should be done with Vashti? Ashalo Asosas Mama Melech, and she didn't fulfill the will of the king. And then we see someone stands up, Vayomer Mumuchan, and Mumuchan is, some say, is a reference to Haman himself. And why was it that Haman wanted Vashti to be deposed? Because the Medrash brings down that he had a daughter, and he wanted Achashverosh to marry his daughter, and if that's the case, case, then we know that Haman would be, so to speak, a brother-in-law to the king, and to the king, and this would create for him a tremendous upsurge in power. And so, so he's basically saying that now any wife can go ahead and not listen to the will of their husband, and you said that she cannot come. And then, so what happens next? And it's fascinating, because there's no determination over here that she should be killed. What is known over here is that so basically the punishment was that Vashti can no longer see the king. This was not a death sentence, but in a way it was. It was a very clever way of getting rid of the queen, because he wasn't saying that she should be killed. Rather, he was suggesting that she's able to live in the castle, but she's not able to visit the king, which means that she essentially can't leave the room. It's almost she was like restricted by COVID. She couldn't get out. And if she wanted to get out, there was no way that she would be able to go near the king. And then obviously that's what led to her downfall, because that's not a tenable situation from which anyone could continue. And then of course, by the end of the parak continues by concluding that this is the strangest thing, says the Gra. That every man is in charge of his house. And Ahasuerus was in charge of 127 provinces, some say. These were countries. And we see a reference to this at the end of the Megillah where it says, Mas V'iye. Mas is the gematria. Mem Samach is 40 plus 60 is 100. V'iye, right, which is Vav Yud Yud, is 26. 126 in total. He was able to give a tax because now people are in a good spirit, right? They got rid of Haman. They got rid of all the kids. And at the end of the Megillah, so that he's only his ability to levy a tax was because people were so distracted by all the good fortune and the release of all the stress that Haman had caused them. So that's when he levied a tax. But the concept over here is twofold. Number one, he's telling everybody that every man's in charge of his house. Now, every man knows he's in charge of his house. So that didn't really resonate with people. Everyone thought that this ruling that he's posting all across his 127 provinces was entirely ridiculous. And the next thing that even sounded far more ridiculous was, Umedaber Kilashon Amo. We all know that there's 127 different countries, and it's impossible for everyone to speak the Lashon Amo, which is the Lashon in Persia. People were speaking different languages even back then, of course, right? And that emanates from, you know, the Tower of Babel, right? In Babel, right? Back in Parshas Noach. So people clearly were unable to speak one language, but this was the ruling, which meant, says the Gra, as we conclude Parag Aleph, that the future edicts that would come out, and specifically the ones that were targeted against the Jews, would be met with the same type of, you know, what is this all about, right? And that no one's going to be taking Ahasuerus seriously, because after all, he's telling us that a man is in charge of his house, and that everyone should be using the same language when they communicate with one another. But that's impossible because, of course, there are so many different languages. I just want to share with you something that really, I think, is the undertone of the entire Megillah. And we see this play out in different ways. Levi Pasach, then Lotarishu is Kol Yoshvei Ha'aretz, Netnechem. Reb Levi said, he opened up by saying, that if you do not conquer all of the lands in front of you, Vayasher Tosiru Mehem, that which you leave behind, Redaba B'shal, this refers to Shaul HaMelech. Then the time when Shmuel HaNavi had said to Shaul HaMelech, Atalech V'kisa Es HaMelech, go ahead and destroy HaMelech. Amar Le Azalta, you went, Zakai, V'isif, Chayava, V'chasta Eloi. You went ahead and you fulfilled your obligation, but you held back on the complete fulfillment of that obligation. As the Pasuk says, Shnema V'yachmol Shaul Da'am Ala Agag, that Shaul had Chamol, he had mercy on the king, on Agag, right? King Agag was the one who was the ancestor of Haman, and we all know that Shaul was the ancestor of Mordechai, right? Because Shaul was Shev ben Yamin, and Mordechai says Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish Ishimini. He comes from the tribe of Ben Yamin. And what does the Medrash continue by saying? Right? This was difficult for him. It's almost like there was like a thorn or like a something in his eyes. The Ezer the Haman. Because we hesitated, because there was hesitation on the count of Shaul HaMelech, this is what gave rise to the future birth of Haman. As the Anaf Yosef explains, Af Shaul Savar Shekavanas HaNavuah, Shaul believed that the intent of the Navuah that he was receiving, Af Shaul Anich Chai Le'olam, is that Agag should not live on forever, meaning he shouldn't live, Avachai Yishah Mutar, but to live out the day, to stay alive for one more night, that would be acceptable. L'tachamol Al Agag La'anich Chai. He allowed Agag to live that night, and we know, if you saw Ad Shiyor Shmuel, Im Tovei Ne Hashem La'anich Chai, Ve'am Lav Yargenu. Shmuel saying to him, there was no allowance to have Agag stay alive for any, you know, moment longer than you needed to. V'zesh Amar Shaul L'Shmuel Shamati B'kol Hashem, Ki Yevesi Anias Agag, V'adayin Hu B'yadi L'Hargo. Right? So Shaul says to Shmuel, you know, don't get upset at me. I have Agag. I can go ahead and kill him right now. Kashe Yidaber Hashem, just like Hashem says, I will be MS. Lo dictate Shaul B'divrei Hanavi Shmuel, Shama Lo Be'ata Lech L'Kisa. Shaul did not have any time to wait. When Shmuel gave the command to kill Agag and to depose of Amalek at that moment, that's when Shaul had that obligation. And since he hesitated, that's the reason why. Don't allow this man to stay up until, you know, the morning. And because Agag was with the maidservant that night, and he had relations, and then they had a baby. And from there, Haman came out. I want to just pause over here, because the Medrash goes on and on. But this really dovetails, since we're 30 days away from Pesach. Mitzvos haba liyadcha, al tachmitzanu. When the mitzvah comes to your hand, don't let it become chametz. Don't let it rise like the bread so that it becomes a different type of flour and water. We have to take the mitzvahs head on. And when we have an opportunity to do kibbutz av v'em, when we have an opportunity to do shalachmanos yishrayeyu, when we have an opportunity to do matanos av yonim, matanos av shekel, and when we have time to do mitzvahs, that's the time to get it done. Not to wait. Al tachmitzanu. Don't let them become chametz. Don't let them come into something else. And that's the reason why this particular part of the medrash is so valuable for us to apply it in our own day and time. And it's just by parable, I'll close out with something that Rabbi Ritterman Zatzal once said to one of his younger classes, that Haman, the Medrash brings down, that he rolled dice to find out, you know, how is he going to, when he rolled on 1, 6, 6, we all know that if you roll dice, the opposite of 1 is a 6, right? And the opposite of a 2 is a 5, and a 3 is a 4. So those dice are the same back then as they were today. And Agag is 1, 3, 3. And when Haman saw Agag, he saw 1, 3, 3. He rolled 3 dice. He said, ah, this is great. I got it. I'm going to do it on this day. But he didn't realize that the opposite of 1, 3, 3 is 6, 4, 4. And what's 6, 4, 4? David, right? You have the 4, then you have the 6, then you have the 4. David. So the opposite is David. So v'nahapachu, that what he believed to be Agag was really that Mashiach ben David, meaning it's going to come about through a Seresa de Latata. It's going to come about through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's being moved by the Knesset Yisrael, specifically the Tinokos Shel Beis Rabban, that sat for 3 days with ashes on their head, and they would not leave the presence of Mordechai at Tzadik until, of course, the time came when Haman and his children were killed. And says the Rimei Gash, we'll close out with this last one. Why is it that on Purim we have a Su'udas Purim, but on Hanukkah we don't have any Su'uda? The answer is that on Hanukkah we may have won many battles with the Hashmonaim against the Greek Assyrian Empire, but we lost life. However, on Purim, we had the same, you know, vanquished, but we were fortunate not to lose any life. So when we lose life, we don't make a party, we don't make a suda. But in the, during the time of Purim, we didn't lose anybody, so therefore it really was Yimei Mishta B'Simcha. And Lahuda Maisar B'Simcha B'Sasim V'Yikar and Kimu V'Kibu Masha Kibu Kvar, in the same way that we had done things so miraculously and beautiful back then in accepting Torah that we had already accepted and re-emphasizing its importance, so too we should see that our brothers and sisters in Ukraine should be able to get to safety in due course, and that we should have an ending of this horrible war, and that we should only have peace in our time. This is Mordechai Plotzker wishing you the very best. Thanks for joining. Sorry for joining a few minutes late, and have a wonderful night and a wonderful Shavua Tov.